Red Film Radio.
Joining us at this time is Fatima Dazi, director of a new documentary called Fatty's Choice, produced with the assistance of STEPS's Generation Africa programme, which aims to shine a light on the future of youth in Africa through the topic of migration. In fact, this is kind of special because this is the first time that we get to speak with one of the directors of one of the works in this series. So Fatima, welcome to the show.
Hi, good afternoon or morning from your end.
Yeah, exactly. It's a real pleasure for me to speak with you. And you know, we're going to be talking about your documentary, Fatty's Choice, which was recently presented at Doc Leipzig. And you know, it's really interesting, this documentary in general. But I want to begin by finding out a little bit about yourself, because this is the first time we talk. So I always like to kind of take this opportunity to find out more about the person I'm speaking with. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself, and especially how you got into film and when you started thinking that you wanted to make your own films?
So let me begin with, I have a first degree in film, but I majored in animation. But when I got out of school, the opportunities were very limited, you see, for animation. So I ended up having to work with TV. You know, so I was heavily, I have experience in TV, with on-air promotions and marketing and licensing. So it was during my TV years that I had opportunity to do a success story for UNESCO on women and girls education and also adolescent reproductive health. So that was when I had opportunity to meet people, you know, from deprived areas of Ghana and to tell their stories. And that was when I had, let me say, the calling to do a film, you know. But at that time, I had the idea to do something on migration, you know, on how returnees are being treated, you know, because I also wanted to understand our line of thinking, you know, about people deciding to return, and also how society, you know, influences people not to be content with whatever they have, but they like to force their way to seek for greener pastures abroad, you know. So I had the idea of to treat, again, that was my interest, but at that time, I didn't have a character to work with, and funding was also limited. And I was just seeking funding when, fortunately, I came across a flyer, you know, about Generation Africa, a new project, and they wanted to treat something on migration. So if we have an idea, we can just submit it, and then we'll see the way forward and stuff like. So I saw the flyer and I just pitched my story, and then that's how come I was selected for the film, and we had a series of workshop and a proper pitching to move to the next stage.
Yeah, and this is Generation Africa, you know, produced by STEPS. We've talked about this before in our show, actually, but you did mention that you wanted to make a film about migration. But having said that, I've seen documentaries about migration, numerous of them, but this film was really exciting because it looks at the topic of migration from a point of view that I've never quite seen before. It's just to explain it to the listeners, it's about, very briefly, you know, it's about a woman from Ghana who migrates to Italy and who eventually does the unthinkable, it seems, from watching the film. She returns to Ghana and her hometown. So particularly for those who have not seen the film, what does it mean when a woman like Fatty returns?
Yeah, so first of all, the main reaction is that you are a failure, you know, because people have a goal. People have this preconceived mind that the moment you reach Europe, you should come back with a lot of money, or you have to make it big. First of all, a lot of families, it's kind of an investment. So people expect their investment back, and you have to make it. When you go to Europe, you have to make sure that you have, your life should change with your experience or exposure to Europe. So the moment Fati decided to come back with the main aim of coming because of her children and not bringing anything, she was seen as a failure, you know, a failure in society, you know, because she wasn't able to reach the goal of making it in Europe and then coming back.
Do you think that her situation was even tougher because she was a woman?
Yes, it was, you know, because most, especially when the men come, well, they are also seen as failures, but they're able to, you know, go into hiding a bit, live with friends, you know, so that they don't have much contact with society. But here is a case that Fati has a commitment home, she has a family and children that, you know, was a main goal, was a primary concern of coming back. So Fati's situation was quite different. And most of times too, you know, in Fati's case, she was the only woman in her community at that time to have embarked on such journey. So first of all, she was even seen as, I don't know the word to use, but kind of a loose woman in society, you know, for her to trek, you know, to go through the Sahara, you know, a lot of things happened. You know, from what I spoke to her, she encountered a lot of sexual abuse and all that. So her personality was already kind of stained. Mm-hmm. You know, yes. So for a woman, it was a heavy burden to carry.
And the question I haven't asked yet is, how did you meet Fati and how did you encounter her story?
So, I had a cousin who also tried crossing the Sahara and the Mediterranean to Libya, because I already had an idea and I really, really had a conversation. So that's where actually my research started. I was having a conversation with him and all that, you know, because he also came back, you know, and a lot of people were laughing at him. I mean, he couldn't even get to Italy. He got to, I think, Libya and had to come back because the conditions were so bad that he didn't have the guts to even go further. So I was having a conversation with him and he said, well, one of his colleagues that they traveled on the boat with, that they met in Libya, managed to get to Italy, but she decided to come back home. But he doesn't understand why she had to take, you know, such decision, because it's not an easy feat and all that. So that's when I told him that, well, I will need a contact, because her story sounds very interesting, because I really got inspired, you know, by her decision, because it's not an easy thing to do. It's not that Fati was unaware that her coming back home will create that kind of, she will face that kind of criticism. You know, it is something that is in society, but she didn't really bother about what people would think of her and all that, you know. So we talked for about 6 months, you know, before meeting her in person. And then surprisingly, when I said that she sounded so, you know, she sounded like a very positive person. You know, she was very affable, you know, somebody who really wanted to share her story and all that. But when I met her in person, I went to her house. I was very surprised with the conditions, you know, she was in at that time, you know, compared to how, you know, her demeanor was on the phone. She was very, you know, positive, laughing and all that. So I was really, you know, I was just inspired, seriously, because looking at her condition and she didn't sound depressed, you know, I found her to be somebody worth doing a film. And she was very happy to share her story, you know, because a lot of people like her that would want to take that kind of a decision, but because they're afraid of what people will say and they are still stuck in their own issues.
I mean, so from what you're saying, it sounds like it wasn't that difficult to kind of maybe convince her to be the protagonist of your documentary. I mean, essentially, what I'd like to ask you is, did she understand what you were trying to do, and was she willing to share her story with the world in a way?
Yeah. So in the beginning, it was very difficult because I have to, even on phone, I have to talk to her for about 6 months before meeting her in person. On the phone, she agreed, but the moment she sees, you know, the crew, like, she's like, no, she's not going to go ahead with it, because it was a very small community. So our presence was kind of too much for her to take. you know, so she started having, yes, intimidating. Yeah, it was quite intimidating. And, you know, she started questioning what this was for, you know, and she couldn't make her mind at that time, especially when the crew became involved. Okay, when you are talking to her on phone without camera, she's okay, she's ready to share her story. But the moment the camera comes in, it was a different issue altogether. So I had to go back, still try as much as possible to build the trust, you know, which wasn't easy at all. You know, so roughly it took me about a year before I was able to introduce a crew. I had to make sure that the crew is very lean so that it doesn't create any kind of intimidating for her, in order to be able to, you know, also get her in her natural state.
Yeah. So, I mean, the community of people around her too, did you, were they difficult to kind of convince, you know, in a way?
Yeah. So it was also not, so, you know, because I knew the community has to be involved in the film. So when I started talking to Fatih, you know, I go to Fatih's house, I go outside the community, talk to people, you know, so that they also get, you know, involved. And they were also not, sometimes you go and they'll all just be in their room and never come out. So it took a lot of, so I started with Fatih and her close friends, you know, so people got used to us, and it took a lot of time, you know, for them to get used to us. So with time, they started to open up, you know, before they were able to accommodate us. But so it was tough. I think that was the most challenging part of the documentary. For them to be accepted was quite a challenge.
Yeah, so it took you, as you said, about 1 year before you truly could start filming, yeah, between talking, yes, with her and kind of getting her used to the idea. And then, so how long did the filming itself go on for?
Yeah, so it took me from the idea conception to finalizing, it took about 3 years.
3 years.
It took, okay, about 3 years. Yes. And I think that was because of the COVID. So yeah, a lot of things, yeah, was stalled. Yeah.
Further complicating,
so it took
things.
About 3 years. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier that you really kind of got your start in animation. And so I'm intrigued to understand, do you feel like somehow your background in animation helps you in documentary filmmaking in any way?
Yes, it did. Because during my course, I had the opportunity to do other stuff aside just animating, you know. So if you, for instance, I specialize in animation, I had the opportunity to also do the edits and do the directing, you know, and I also work with my colleagues from the other departments. So, you know, I was exposed to the filmmaking experience, how to direct, you know, how to direct a character, and the patience, you know, to deal with character came from my animation background, because it's also a very tough area and which needs a lot of patience.
Yes, I didn't think of that, but patience would really kind of be a part of it, especially when you after you said that it kind of took you 3 years to make this film. So that's quite a commitment when I think about it, because 3 years of your life, really. Okay, so it's a really fascinating film. Hopefully the listeners will be intrigued to want to find out more and watch it. I wanted to end our conversation with a very simple question. Considering what your film talks about, and kind of your mission that you've mentioned throughout the conversation as a filmmaker, do you think that cinema can be a powerful tool for communicating messages and telling stories?
Absolutely true. It is. First, it allows me, for me, it allowed me to really express what I had wanted to do all this while. Because we all have a goal. We all have issues that concern us, you know. And the language of film is powerful, because now people are seeing Fatih through film. You know, people can experience Fatih's life through film. And that alone is a very, very big statement.
But so, okay, so it's been great speaking with you, Fatima. Thank you very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you too for having me.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.